So you are, of course, a local historian. You've got lots and lots of information in relation to World War One, World War Two, and I understand your family kind of comes from a military background as well. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, my father served in the... Well, let's go back. My grandfather, my father's side, was in the 2nd Cheshires, and he was badly wounded at Cambrai. He got... shrapnel just above his kidneys.
Goodness.
And he ended up his war in Northern Ireland training people how to use a piece of equipment that he developed. My other grandfather, my mother's father, was too small to even join the Bantams, so he joined the RAMC, and he served in Basra, looking after our wounded soldiers there who'd come down from Kutalamara, you know, when they tried to attack the Turks from the south.
Yeah.
And while he was away, he lost his parents, one to cancer and one to, we think it was heart problems. So then my mother wanted to be a nurse, but they wouldn't let her because her mother had died of TB.
Yeah.
So she ended up joining the ATS and was sent to Naples to run one of the sort of NAFIs that they had there, with looking after the American and the British soldiers in Naples. And my father served in East Africa, but not in the East African campaign. He was one of the ones that was attacking Abyssinia, as it was then, from the south.
Yeah.
And he was a signals, and he and his friend travelled up that east coast with a couple of people from the Maasai warriors, and they were, as I said, in the signals. And the story that he told was that they met a group of Italians escaping south from Abyssinia, as it was.
Yeah.
And my father and his mate Paddy told them to just sit there and wait because the British army was coming up behind them. And when the British army did arrive, they found this group of Italian soldiers still sitting there with their hands on their heads waiting to be captured. So really, you know, I was always brought up with the idea of service and of a military background there.
With the 75th anniversary of VE Day approaching us, it's a great time not only to reflect on the incredible bravery that our servicemen and women undertook during the war, but also a chance for younger generations to learn more about the Second World War.
There's quite a lot of sources. Now, you have to have a library card, but I do believe you can find out things from the local history archives down in Ashton. But if you ring them, they will be able to give you details. And there are quite a lot of books that have been written on it, which are online. So, you know, there is material there. But what I have suggested is that younger children in particular, who won't have any conception of what it was like after the First World War, think about how they would react as soon as this COVID is lifted and the freedoms that they'll experience, because there's something similar there to the freedoms of people on, obviously, VE Day, when suddenly all the fear of war had passed.
And I think we're very, very lucky in this day and age as well to have this kind of technology available at the touch of a button, if you will. Whereas,
absolutely,
you know, back then, there was no iPhones, there was no Netflix, you barely had a television. Well, you had to be very, 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 very well off if you had a television,
They did have radio, which they used an awful lot. But there again, an awful lot of the radio was censored. They only knew what they were being told. The same with the press. A lot of the press was heavily censored, so
yeah,
they weren't told everything by any means that was going on. And that is one big difference to today. Because of the availability of technology, we are able to find out more or less what is happening in the world